This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them goodness, to bless them, every one of us too, and to grant us every goodness. We definitely need it desperately. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, the day we get married, may Allah make it easy for those who are not married to get married. Say ameen. Yeah. Ameen. Okay, subhanallah. I see some of the guys are married and still saying ameen. Oh. Okay. The day we get married, there is excitement. And a lot of excitement. People are happy. If you're not excited and not happy, please delay and postpone the marriage. Did you hear what I just said? And my beloved parents, a very interesting point we need to mention right at the beginning is, if your children are about to get married and doubting the marriage prior to it, please be brave enough to put it on hold or even to call it off. Did you hear what I just said? People say, but I prepared for the engagement. I prepared for the wedding. We sent out the invitations. People have done this and done that. How on earth can we break this engagement? Can I tell you what? Break it if it has to be broken. Because it's cheaper to break an engagement than to let everything happen. And after a child or two, you're now divorced and you knew prior to the marriage that there's something wrong. How? So you'd rather have the people, and I have actually come across people who have converted a wedding party into just a normal meal. Please come, enjoy the meal and leave. There was no longer the wedding. Subhanallah. But because we hired the hall, we paid for the catering, just come and enjoy this free meal and go away. Subhanallah. What's the big deal? Set the trend, set the pace. You are worried about what people will think of you if you did this, but I promise you, if you set the pace, people will follow you and they will know what to do in the future. So the reason I start this way is when we were married, we should have been excited. The day of marriage should be a day of excitement, a day when you can't wait for things to have, you know, to get over and done with so you can be with your loved one. And that's it, subhanallah, your life begins. But sometimes you already knew that the doom was beginning because you didn't want the marriage. I spoke about that yesterday and I'm starting with it today because there are a few things I still need to say that I didn't say yesterday. Taboos. Imagine right at the beginning, if your child didn't want to marry who you forced them to marry or who you pressurized them to marry, who is to blame? You are to blame as a parent. So right at the beginning, if you knew something is not 100% here, put it on hold. Hold it, wait. I'd rather have the issue now than later on. People get engaged for the engagements to break. You might disagree with what I just said, right? People get engaged, let me word it differently. People get engaged to give you a chance to maybe break it before the marriage in case it needs to be broken. What else were you engaged for? Just for wasting time. I was at school, you were at school, so we wasted our time and we waited. Well, while you were at school, I found out a few things and I no longer want to marry you. Thank you. Done. So don't mix the two. To be married and engaged are two totally different things. We need to learn to be brave enough to do things the right way and not the common way. Sometimes It's common to do things in a certain way, so we do it that way. Like I said yesterday, I started off, I mentioned one point, and that point was quite clear, where I said, people make it very difficult for others to get married. When you want to get engaged, I spoke about how we have to bring gifts and parcels and various other things, and lots of money is spent only on the engagement. A few days ago, I was invited at someone's house in another country, without making mention of which country it is, for my respect of theirs, of them. And I said, wow, so many people are invited to this. You could have at least told us. I could have organized for a few people who can't afford a walima to actually have this as their function. Because sometimes we spend more money on just a little get-together of food than other people spend on their entire weddings. Their entire weddings. Be mindful. And the opposite is true. Sometimes we spend more money just to confirm a marriage prior to the engagement. We'll all fly to one country somewhere across the globe in order to say, you're engaged now. And in the process, there was nudity. In the process, there was transgression against the commands of Allah. There may have been alcohol, intoxicants, adultery, and everything else happening. But that was just a party. What was it? It was a party. Yeah, there's a way of pronouncing it, by the way. That's how it was. That's what it was. And what were you doing? Oh, they're getting married. So everyone drops their guard. What type of a guard? Their deen. They drop it. Why? Because we're enjoying. They're getting married. Yeah, they're going to get engaged. When? After 2 weeks. But now, we just flew to Fiji Islands in order to try and... I'm giving you an example. No one flies to Fiji. But I'm just saying, I don't want to name the places because I don't want to give you ideas, right? But they fly across the world to do what? They got engaged. Take it easy. What barakah do you want? The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, keep it simple. The simpler it is, the more blessings there will be. You really want something, reach out to the poor with your money. Don't blow it and waste your money. It will be void of blessings. What do you want in your life? I want blessings. I want to be content with whatever I have. I may never be a billionaire, but I could be in non-material things. Even higher than a billionaire. So, you have all these small cultures that amount to something massive and difficult, such that people feel embarrassed to get engaged. They can't afford it. They can't afford it. Because why? Everyone on my street, when they got married, they did this, they did that, they did that, they hired cars, they hired this, they bought gifts, they gave gifts to this person and that person and everyone else. And you know what? We can't do that. So now what? Well, just hold on. Keep on committing adultery until the day we can afford it. That's what you're saying, in other words. And what else? Then the engagement happens. Like I say, I don't even want to go to what haram happens. People have a night prior to the engagement. I'm not talking yet of the nikah. I'm talking of an engagement. And they've started doing things and saying things. Suddenly, because someone is planning to get married, it's like we think Allah is telling us, just do whatever you guys want. You're happy and excited. Lose yourself. And that's a good party. That's what people are doing. Wallahi, they're doing this. And they're doing it from good homes. Good homes. Forget about who you are. Why? There's someone getting married. And then the engagement happens, like I say, massive place and huge decoration. Just on the decoration, we spend thousands. One wonders, where did the money come from? If only you could know, the uncle would tell you, I had to take a loan from HSBC. Subhanallah. It's a fact. People are taking loans. Why? To try and impress the in-laws that I've got money. Yeah. That's all. To try and impress other people. You took a bank loan to throw a party. You should have spoken to Dr. Muhammad Salah. We would have made you some eggs. Scrambled eggs. You'll be happily married. We'll even teach your husband how to make that. He'll bring you breakfast in bed once a week, inshallah. Yeah. You didn't need to do that. Recently there was a brother from a good family. He said, you know, we're having a very small function with only my family and that family. And there are 10 people from each side, and the 20 of us are going to get together and we're going to eat together. And I said, wow, let me stand up and give this man a big hug. I told him, you did the right thing. And I can suggest something else for you. What? I said, you can buy these little plates, you know, small plates, plastic or glass, whatever you want, 100 of them. And you can fill them with sweets and chocolates and whatever else you want and put a little bit of, you know, they call it the cling wrap around it, right? And you can put a sticker on there. On the occasion of the marriage of Fatima to Abdullah, this date, we request your dua. And distribute that not only in the masjid, but give it to your friends one after the other. When you see them, hey, you know, we're getting married on this day. There was nothing, no big deal about inviting the whole world. Wallahi, we have a disease. The disease is twofold. We feel like we feel obliged to invite everyone we know. And that's not a sunnah. Everyone you know, you have to invite them. That's a culture. That's a culture. You do not have to invite everyone you know. And the second problem we have is we feel bad when we are not invited. That's another problem. What? They got married. It will break. Why? I didn't taste the biryani. Yes. So we have a disease both ways. We have a very bad culture of believing all the people I know need to be invited. You can invite your close family and close friends and that's it. Those who are second order, third order, they don't need to be invited. But if you can afford it, then we'll talk about it in a few minutes, inshallah. Then we'll tell you what you can do, mashallah. You don't ever go out and get a loan from the bank in order to get married. You don't. That's wrong. You adjust the size of your function and your marriage to something affordable. You must be thinking the topic is divorce. Why are you talking about? I told you yesterday there were things I didn't say. I'm going to say them today. Number one. Number two, all this contributes to the success of your marriage or its failure, according to the hadith. If you are a blessed person, imagine, wallahi, I know of more than 20 cases. 20 is a very, very conservative number. Of marriages that have been broken beyond repair, yet the bank loan is still going to take another few years to pay back. Subhanallah. Your marriage is over, but I'm still paying. Why? Well, the marriage is over, but all the biryani we fed the people there, the decoration and everything and the grand venue that we hired there, what happened to it? That's why I told you, forget about the loan. Work on the marriage rather than the wedding. Work on the marriage rather than the wedding. How many of you believe that you must attend premarital classes? I'm telling you today, Jazakallah khair, you need to introduce it, premarital classes. Do you know why? This generation, the bulk of them don't know why they're getting married. They don't know what the responsibilities are. Recently, I did a little video and I posted it up on YouTube. It was just an Instagram live. And I spoke about something and people were telling me, wow, first time I'm hearing this. I said, you know, when do you think you're ready to get married? When you can wink at a girl and she can blush at that wink. Is that what it is? No, not at all. When you know how to respect the opposite sex, when you know how to serve people, when you can sacrifice, when you are patient, when you are ready to build, when you are ready to build each other, and when you're ready to be able to serve people in a way that you are selfless to a certain extent, and when you're not, when you've actually worked on your character and conduct such that it would be a pleasure to live with someone who's slightly different from you in thinking, in likes and dislikes. And it's just something that you're going to enjoy. A lot of us are very selfish, very self-centered. Everything should happen my way. I'm going to get married to her or to him and I will adjust them and they will change to me. Who are you? Who are you? You change yourself. That's what it should be. And yes, if they're doing something wrong, you need to have the patience to work on them, to work with them, to give time to them, to be able to see improvement. So what happens? We think, wow, she's hot, or oh, he's a hunk. I want to get married. That's not Islam. Yes, you might want to have someone who's attractive at least, but trust me, the inner attraction should be greater than the outer attraction. That's what Islam teaches you. Because there comes a time in your life when, wallahi, What your spouse looks like becomes irrelevant. You love them to bits and pieces because of the sacrifice they've made for you through their lives. I don't care what you look like anymore. I just know I love you more than I love anyone else on earth. Subhanallah. Why? Because we've lived together. We've sacrificed for each other. We've built a life together. How can I fall out of love just because of a few pounds of weight you've gained? And after all, they were my kids you gave birth to. Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. So my brothers and sisters, when that function at the beginning is tailor-made, bearing in mind two things. Number one is what pleases Allah, and number two is what is in line with your pocket. And you need to remember, even if you're a wealthy person, like I said earlier, yes, you may want to have a massive function, but keep it simple. There is no restriction as to the number of people you can invite if you can afford it. What I spoke about earlier was, if you can't really afford it, number one. But if you can afford it, I can invite the whole village. I can invite the whole city. But keep it simple, because you know why? It's not only about money and affording. It's about setting a trend for others to follow. You're going to set a bad trend, because your colleagues are going to have a tough time getting their kids married. By the way, a guy like me with 10 kids, do you know what's going to happen? May Allah forgive us. I wonder why I'm saying simplify it, simplify it, simplify it, right? May Allah make it easy. No, actually, I'm being real. So subhanallah, you need to make sure that when you do something, you set a good example. If people say, look, this man was so wealthy, he had 10,000 people whom he has fed. But 9,900 were actually poor people from that orphanage and this institution where the widows are and that camp where all the refugees are, and the 100 people were just family members and so on, where they had a little function. Oh, that's a trend we set. If you could afford it, why not? Why not? But the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ speaks about how that food of the walima, people who don't want the food are invited to it, and people who need the food are not invited to it. Today, you go to a function, we've become health freaks, haven't we? So what happens? You just touch the food. Two fingers, just touch it, here and there. Everything happens. A lot of it goes to waste, wallahi. And those who are dying of hunger, they weren't even invited there. The people who needed the food weren't even invited there. Had you asked the guys you invited, what would you eat? Nowadays, we are all health freaks, right? Forget about carbonated drinks. It's a thing of the past, isn't it? It's supposed to be. Forget about all sorts of, these desserts and everything else. You come with something healthy that doesn't even taste so sweet, it'll be polished. Nowadays, I think, with a lot of people, way before that which is unhealthy. But you know what? We have a bad habit. We will lay things out and lay it out such that massive, servings of food, and no one's eaten it. And immediately after that, it is thrown away in most cases. I come from Zimbabwe, where food being wasted is not really an option, because no matter what is left over, there will always be people. If you were to keep it in a nice way, pack it up in a proper, in a proper hygienic way, people are ready to take that. But there are countries, first world countries, where you won't find anywhere to give. I remember when I went to the UK and they were throwing food in the bin. And I said, why are you doing this? They said, but what are we supposed to do with it? I said, can't you just give it to someone on the street? They said, who on the street? Subhanallah. So there are some communities where they just have to throw it away. I'd rather you have less food and people go away saying, mashallah, it was good, than to have so much that you get the curse of your own maker for wasting food. So remember, the functions we have play a big role in our barakah. Barakah means blessings. Many people don't believe in blessings. What's that all about? I promise you, a day will come when you will realize what that is all about. A day will come when you will know that you were made by a maker, and that maker has set rules and regulations for your contentment. After you lose yourself completely, you may realize that, I need to find myself again. and I need to go back to this maker who's given me such beautiful rules and regulations. I didn't need to reinvent the wheel. Rather, I just took it and I benefited from what the Almighty already sent down to me. And this is where I got the barakah from. So subhanallah, we spoke about how important it is to help our children marry those whom they are compatible with, and not just force them to get married to your relative or your cousin or your this or your that. You know, every day, including today, we have people who complain about how they have been married off to those whom they were never compatible with by their parents. And I sometimes feel like, you know, penalizing these parents, but I don't know how to. We just have to pray for them. May Allah guide them. And people are saying, no, what do you think? I promise you, when you are second, third generation in a country like this, your thinking is different. Leave marriage issues to the new generation. Who they're going to marry, let them choose. Subhanallah. You can guide them if you're really a person up to date with what's happening. But you can't let someone marry a person who was never in their dreams. Everyone's got a dream. The young girls today and the boys, if you were to ask them, what type of a spouse do you want? And my beloved parents, ask them, ask your own children, what type of a spouse do you want? If your communication is good enough and they are free to be open with you, they'll describe someone. You need to know, help them find that someone with a little bit of guidance if they're wrong in what they're dreaming of. A little bit of guidance. But don't come and say, no. I will choose who you're going to marry. Daddy, you've already made a mistake. The way you fight with mom, crazy. You made your blunder. Don't make me repeat that blunder, please. It's a fact. Many parents have made a mistake. They've married people whom they're not compatible with. But because they lived in the 60s and 70s, you know, they just had to live anyway. That's what it was. It's different now. Generations change. So we're happy the day we get married, mashallah. Here comes the nikah. Simplify it. Try and have it in the masjid. There is blessings. Try and have it in the masjid. There is blessings. Simplify it. Keep it very simple, straightforward. Don't delay it unnecessarily. People say, we're engaged. When are you getting married? Well, about 5 years from now. 5 years. That's a period to commit zina, right? It's a period to do wrong. That's what you did. That's all. You should be ashamed of yourself. 5 years. For what? What 5 years for what? Get the nikah done. People say, but you know, then what? No, they don't have to live together immediately. At least you did something halal. You will protect them from the devil. But no, they are young and whatever. So if they are young, then why did you get them engaged from now? For what? Don't. They might change their minds in 5 years. They might not want the same person in 5 years. Revisit it in 5 years. Do you still want to marry the same guy? No, Dad, I really don't. You don't know what's happened in 5 years. In 1 year, a person can change. In 2 years, they can change. Why are we making the same mistakes again and again and again? And we're being told, but still we're making the same blunders. So we simplified this nikah. Beautiful function. According to our means, the pleasure of Allah. Like I said last night, Allah gives you a day of happiness. Make Him happy on that day. Allah gives you the day of happiness. Don't do something wrong on that day. Just do it properly. When I've attended functions of nikah, and I always tell them, you know what? This is actually a spiritual, religious function. Although you're eating food and you're celebrating, it's a spiritual, religious celebration. Keep it within what pleases Allah. You'll be happy. You'll be very happy. But mashallah, tabarakallah, today what's happening? We make decisions based on materialistic factors more than anything else. We tell our daughters, you cannot marry in that family because what do they have? Those are the poor people. My brother, if Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, whose footsteps were heard in paradise, had to come and ask for your daughter, you are one of them who would say, no, you're too black for my daughter. I promise you. But he is the one who is going to be in Jannah. He will take the daughter of yours, inshallah, to Jannah. Do you follow what I'm saying? But no, we've never thought of it. I said it yesterday, I'm repeating it today. So because our whole focus was on something that comes and goes, the marriage is not founded on a stable foundation. How many of us are wealthy? Tomorrow we have no wealth. How many of us are good looking? Tomorrow it's gone. How many of us have a powerful post? Tomorrow we're fired. How many of us have so much and the next day there's nothing? But how many of us are religious and have great character and the next day it just goes? It doesn't go so quickly. It builds. As you grow older, yes, there are some exceptions where you do have a few people who might quit for some reason, but that's not the norm. That's not everybody. The numbers are far smaller, but aging, we all age, 100% of us. Subhanallah. So remember, when you build it on that foundation of character and deen, the issue of divorce is less likely to come about when both parties have the same concerns. Marriage is about sacrifice. It's very, very hard work. That's what I tell people. Marriage is so hard that when you get into it, you realize, whoo, this is not just a full-time job, but it's actually very challenging at the same time. Let's learn to appreciate each other. Every small difference we have should not be a point where we say, right, I want to go home, divorce. And that brings me to some of our parents who spoil us so much that they have never prepared us to sacrifice. You could be wealthy. Sometimes people will never get along with your children because you know what? They didn't lift a spoon in the house. They don't know how to. And they won't. So, I believe the bedding that you sleep on should be fixed in the morning and your bed should be made by the one who slept on that bed. Your children, no matter how many people you have as helping hands in the home, no. Certain things they should do on their own. You don't just leave things strewn. They must do it on their own. In fact, they should take turns to clean up the house. A day may come when they will need it. They might shift to a country where that's the norm. And they'll say, what? You mean I must clean here? Here? What are you talking about? If you're not going to clean it, I'm not going to clean it. We're going to just live like tramps. It's like cooking, for example. I've had people come to me arguing about whose job is it to cook. I said, whoever's job it is to eat. That's the right answer. Do you want to eat? Yes, make a plan. That's it. You either take turns or one of you does it and the other one thanks them and shows appreciation in a different way. Maybe one is a breadwinner and the other one actually bakes that bread. Allahu Akbar. It's possible. Maybe both are breadwinners and they take turns. I know of families, they say, look, 1 week you sort it out, 1 week I'll sort it out. Let's see how it goes. So what? Yes, I know there are people sitting and looking at me. No, that is wife's job. I know. But the best chefs on earth, aren't they males? See, nodding your heads. Ah, the sisters are saying, just say yes, it's in your favor. MashaAllah. SubhanAllah, it's a pleasure, it's an honor. You know, my little daughter, SubhanAllah, my wife always says, would you like some tea? Would you like some coffee? And I say, yeah, I'll have some tea. And then she makes me a cup of tea. And the little kids watch this and we don't even realize this. So, SubhanAllah, my daughter went to school, grade 1, 2 at that time. And at school, they were talking about what your dads make. So someone says, oh, my dad makes breakfast for us on a Sunday. Someone says, my dad makes pancakes. Someone says, my daughter comes and says, you know, my dad, he can't even make a cup of tea. He's going to tell my mom. And I was so embarrassed because that's not true. It's out of love, SubhanAllah. But that's a fact. It actually happened. And I was like, gosh, I couldn't go and pick her up from the school for a whole week after that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. In fact, but it just goes to show. Wallahi, my beloved brothers and sisters, you know, when you are prepared to sacrifice, and both husband and wife are prepared to work on putting a smile on the other's face, your marriage works. I can't believe people who scream, shout and yell at each other. That is not on. You're not a true mu'min. You don't believe in Allah. Because if you did, you would know that Allah has told you through the blessed lips of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the best of you is the one who's best to their spouse. How can I be a true believer when I'm not the best to my spouse? I'm yelling, I'm screaming, I'm swearing, I'm accusing, I'm abusing and everything else, and I'm supposed to be Allahu Akbar, first saf. What hypocrisy is that? Even if you were in the last saf, but you treated your family well, in the eyes of Allah, you are in the first saf. In a different way. And this is hypocrisy. People think to be religious means you must be hard in your house. You're the boss of the house. What's a boss? Subhanallah. The last I knew, it was a little spray of perfume. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. My brothers and sisters, be humble, be soft. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they asked about him to his family, what did he used to do in his spare time? Do you know what they said? He used to help his family members in their chores. That's a true answer. He used to help his family members in their chores. He used to go out and milk the goats. He used to go out and bring something. He used to come and help clean. He used to help whatever else. That helping with the chores includes everything. How many of us do that? Subhanallah. If we're ready to sacrifice, things will happen. But the difficulty is one small problem. And the first statement that we were trained to say, I don't know whether it was by the soaps that we've been watching, or whether it was by what our parents have taught us, or our friends or peers, or whatever else it might have been, we just say, I want a divorce, I'm going home. That's it, I'm out. Why? There's no even reason. How could you have looked at me like that in front of my friends? What look? Subhanallah, I don't even know. Subhanallah. But these things are happening for no reason. I was in the Philippines a few days ago, and I mentioned something about a true story where a divorce happened because just after the function, after that wedding function, there was an argument as to which Rolls Royce to go into. The one arranged by the girls' party or the one arranged by the boys' party. And wallahi, because of that, they divorced. I know of another one where, this is quite an old one, a divorce happened because at the function, the man says to his new bride, please pass the salad. You know, like the salad, the greens from the other side of the table? And she said, no. He said, what? He said, no, you get it. And it became a big argument. And talaq was just blurted out like it's just a joke, you know? Like it's a joke. Over salad, come on. Salad. Subhanallah. In my mind right now, I can imagine ways of converting that conversation and that argument about the motor vehicles into something so romantic, it will not be forgotten. They asked me which Rolls Royce. I'd say, forget about Rolls Royces. We're walking together today. Yeah. Well, it's raining. Do you need an umbrella? No, we'll walk in the rain. MashaAllah. You can convert things into something really romantic, but we don't think that way. Marriage is not a battle to try and prove who's the boss. We are both responsible in our own ways. And I loved what one of the scholars recently said about responsible. You know, when Allah says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," people say, oh, men are bosses over the women. Who said that's the translation? Men are responsible. You know what responsible means? Well, one of the scholars recently said something very interesting. If you cut that word, you find it has two things in it. Response and able. You must be able to respond to every situation. Then you're a real man. If it's done in a positive way. Wow. I was impressed. If you're not responsible, you're not able to respond, subhanAllah, in a proper way to the challenges that you face, to things that come in your direction. You're a man, you're a real man when you know how to respond and diffuse situations, deal with them positively so that the problem is resolved. SubhanAllah. I'd like to hope that we can actually sacrifice. And the reason I say this is we rather invest in speaking about how to build marriages than speaking about divorce being permissible, because yes, it is. And let me tell you, if someone were to say, is divorce allowed in Islam? The answer is yes, definitely it is, as a last resort. That last resort doesn't mean after you're battered and bashed and blue and you've lost an eye, and then last resort is, I need a divorce. That's not what last resort is. Last resort is, you know what? When you cannot, brother, you don't need to show that to me again, inshallah. We're only allowed 4, not 10. Subhanallah, you know what? Last resort actually means when things have gotten so bad that now you cannot help each other. That's it. Things are getting worse. Someone came to me today explaining whatever they had. May Allah make it easy for everyone. And I said, you know what? If you set yourself a deadline, by December, for example, I'm going to check this relationship. Right? If there is any improvement at all, then I'll remain in it and work on the rest. If it's getting worse, then I come out of it. Because now we can't help each other. It's toxic at that point. If it is oppressive, you have every right to seek dissolution, to seek to dissolve that marriage. Many people don't teach women what they need to know, and I'm going to tell it to you today. We're empowering our women, right? At the point of marriage, you can actually ask for one person from your side to be given ownership of one of the three talaqs, so that in case a day comes when you need it, the guy doesn't hassle you by saying, I'm not going to divorce you, and I'm just going to leave you hanging, you can stay hanging and that's it. No, someone has got ownership of one of the talaqs, they can issue it without you. It's called tafweed al-talaq. Tafweed meaning to hand over one talqa. People don't know about it, they say, what are you talking about? Go and find out, read about it, check, you can do that. You can grab the ownership of one of the three at any time after your marriage. So it's not like you issued it, but you took it. Three bullets, one is in my pocket, the other two are in yours. SubhanAllah. That's one way of doing things. Sisters who are here, put up your hand if you knew what I was saying, or if you knew what I said, put up your hand. See, only a few, three or four. The rest of them are like, are you serious? You mean Islam doesn't oppress women after all? Oh, you see? Secondly, let me tell you. You have every right to apply for a nullification if any one of your rights are not being fulfilled. The problem is our scholars, may Allah bless them and grant them goodness, they delay so much in dealing with the matter that by that time you're already suicidal and some have already committed suicide. And then only the fasakh comes through. Fasakh is a nullification. It's not a khula. By the way, khula is something that's different. I'll explain that too. Fasakh means without the involvement of the male. If he is doing something wrong, you have a right to apply to the scholars who got you married or to the court that got you married in the case of an Islamic place to nullify the marriage because it's defeating the whole purpose of you having gotten married. So what they will do, they'll contact the man and try and confirm and perhaps try to help and deal with the situation. If they cannot, they are supposed to issue a nullification whether the guy likes it or not. It's called a fasakh. How many women knew about what I just said now? Put up your hand. Thank you. Again, just about 4 or 5. You see? How many men knew about what I just said now? Put up your hands. They knew about it. Gosh, look at this. They knew about it all along. SubhanAllah. May Allah forgive us. Okay, what is a khula? A khula is where the woman just falls out of love, for example. And that's quite a bad word, but sometimes it does happen. Where there is just a situation where I can't stand this guy anymore. And it lasts long and we try to solve it and we cannot. Or for some reason you just want out and it's not really a valid reason, right? He's invested a lot, but you just want to get out. So what you say is, I give you back the mahar. The mahar is the gift that you initially gave me. It's not a bride price, it's not a dowry in English. It's just a gift you initially gave me. I give it back to you, and in return for that, I will be free from you. As in, I will get one talaq. One talaq that is actually irrevocable from that. The difficulty is, a lot of us, it was just $100, $500. What's the big deal? The guy says, what am I going to do with $500? That's the reason why in some countries they say the mahar will be 10 million. Did you hear what I just said? Let's make it interesting. Zimbabwe dollars, right? And you know what? You pay now as a gift 500. The rest of it is payable if divorce occurs.
Whoa.
Or the rest of it is payable later. One day you say, look, I excuse this. I excuse you from this if you let me get out of this marriage. I never used to understand, why do people have exorbitant mahar? But when I started speaking to unreasonable men who really, they don't want the woman, they're not going to live with her, they just want to fix her, and they just put her in the corner and they say, right, that's it. They might already be married somewhere else, but they're fixing someone else. And you start thinking, gosh, if the mahar was a million and she gave back that million, he would have been happy to take only half of it and say, take it, take your talaq and I'm out of here. But no. The mahar was so small. So people say, no, I'll have the mahar, I'll have you pay so much, it is not recommended, it's not sunnah, it's against the teachings of Islam to take back more than the mahar. Although there is a permissibility for it, if the woman saying, look, I'm buying my freedom from you, I'm buying my talaq, my divorce from you, and let's settle. What's the settlement? $30,000. You say, okay, fine, I take it. If that's more than the mahar, it's actually greed. It's not recommended at all. There's no barakah in what you've taken. You're supposed to be an honorable man. This marriage didn't work and I release you, I divorce you, and it's gone. But we think, no, we can fix them up. Allah make it easy for everyone. The reason I'm saying this is just to educate you, to know what your rights are, to know where you stand. You might have learned a thing or two that's new today, and you might want to go and research about it a little bit more to find out what's going on and to find out what the scholars have said. And I know of a form we have just at the time of the wedding, as you're signing the wedding, what you call the nikah certificate, immediately after that you sign the other page where you've actually signed one talaq off to the imam, so that one day he might want to, you know, at the request of the girl side, he might want to release her from your marriage for a valid reason. For a valid reason. Amazing. Now divorce happens for some reason, because we couldn't get along. Like I say, it's permissible, but it's the last resort. We tried, as we were becoming disrespectful, we realized, listen, we've got to part ways. Can I tell you, most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum have been through divorce. I said it yesterday, right? Most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum have been through divorce. They didn't make a big deal of it. That's why no one knows about it. People wouldn't have known. We make such a big deal, the whole world knows. And what's the big deal? We don't wish goodness for our exes after we're divorced. That's one disease that we face. Especially when they were okay, but we didn't get along with them. We don't wish goodness for them. If they were really horrible, terrible, evil, oppressive, toxic, then yes, we need to warn people about them sometimes. You know, one of your friends is about to get married to your ex. What a good friend, mashallah. But you have to at least say, you know what, I just want to tell you, I'm not being funny, but this is what happened with me. I said yesterday, it's not a bad idea to speak to someone's ex before marrying them, just to get an idea. It might be exaggerated, but you might just be enlightened to something you didn't know. You need to be broad enough. You are going to be hearing rumors later anyway. I'd rather hear it from the horse's mouth. Sorry, you're not allowed to call people horses. But anyway, I'd rather hear it from her mouth than to hear it from someone else's. Or his. So divorce has happened. Does it make me a bad person? No. We were two good people. We didn't get along. As the relationship became toxic, some evil characteristics came about, such that a lot of us would feel, this is not who I was when I got married. When I got married, I was so calm, so cool, ready to face the world. Suddenly, my mother-in-law proved to be bigger than the whole world. It happens. Life changes. I've had people who come to me and say, you know, when you want to have the whole family together, sometimes you're in each other's faces, and that's not healthy at all. I always say you cannot have two queens in one kitchen. Subhanallah. You know what's the solution? Get the kings in. Mashallah. Anyway, so I always say you cannot have two queens in one kitchen. And if you have that, you need to have a very, very big heart. And if that heart is not big enough, you're going to fight. You're bound to fight. You're bound to be, you know, to cross each other's paths. And when that happens, it's going to spoil the marriage, because now there'll be a war between the mother and the wife of the same man. But there's no real war. It's all artificial. It was created because you didn't know where to draw the lines. That's all. You draw the line and that's it. You'll be okay. That's why it's best to actually just live at a slight bit of a distance. It doesn't mean you're not serving your parents. It doesn't mean that. My beloved parents, don't blackmail your kids into saying, well, who's going to take care of me? You have to be here. It's like telling your son, you got married, now your wife will take care of me. Wife is supposed to take care of him first, subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. So this breaks the marriage and it becomes toxic. The point I was raising is, while the problems start within the homes, we become people we were not. If I were to ask, and I'm not going to ask you, but if I were to ask, how many of us are married and our character has deteriorated due to toxic living? And a lot of us would put up our hands. Am I right? I just see these. They're too scared. Even their voices might be heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But it's a fact. I know. And if you're not facing this situation, well, thank Allah. Now we look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he wanted to marry, who did he marry? And before we look at that, who was he? The best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah, the highest in rank at the time, the one who was known for his honesty, for his good looks, mashallah, tabarakallah. He was known for being trustworthy. He was known as the man most sought after, subhanallah. He was. Who did he marry? A previously married woman. How many men would consider a previously married woman, whether divorced or widow? And then we say, I follow the sunnah. I stand in the first saf in salah. Here's my salah. It's not wrong. But I'm saying, don't think low of those who were previously married. Your Prophet and mine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his first choice was a previously married woman. Allah blessed him to choose again. He chose the same. Allah blessed him to choose so many times. Only once. He chose someone who was not previously married. If there was anything wrong with a woman who was previously married, he would never ever have set such a powerful example so many times. But with us, it's a matter of convenience. One young man came to me when I once spoke about this, not as I did today, but in a different way, in a small gathering that was private. And we were speaking about, you know, getting married. And this guy was getting married to a person who was not previously married. And I was saying, no, subhanAllah. But the other guys were saying, yeah, it's hard and it's difficult. I said, no, get someone who was married. No, but how can you marry a person? I said, at least they're experienced. They come with less problems. They're experienced. What do you mean they're experienced? I said, they know, they'll take care of you because they know. We never looked at it that way. Subhanallah. Well, subhanallah. With all due respect to those who were not previously married. Today, the topic is being previously married. That's why I'm stressing this point. May Allah make it easy for all of us. And I think the stigma is attached both sides. Sometimes you have a man previously married, he's got one or two children perhaps, and the father of the girl who's interested in getting married to the guy because he's a good guy says, "How? I'll never allow you to marry this guy. Not only was he previously married, but he's even got two kids. What do you want to go into that for?" You know what? The best from amongst us are those who have taken care of the children of others. The best man, the most honorable from amongst us is he who can take care of the children of another man. There are very few true men in this world. Very few. A lot of us, unfortunately, are very selfish. Notice I said a lot of us. I didn't say a lot of you. I'm a man, by the way. May Allah help us and guide us all. And women too. You may have a man who's previously married. Yes, there is a little bit. But if you carry yourself with such respect, even if there was animosity at the beginning, inshallah, it will diminish. A lot of prayer, a lot of help, a lot of sacrifice. I always tell people, if we're not going to sacrifice in this way, Allah will take that sacrifice in another way. Allah has guaranteed you that you're going to be tested. If it's not 1 plus 1, it's going to be 1 minus 1. If it's not this test, it's going to be that test. So thank Allah for the test that He has placed in front of you and face the challenge willingly rather than coming out of it and saying, "No, no, no, not this." Allah will give you a bigger issue, a major problem, an even bigger issue. If you think you are struggling, yet you have a home, yet you have food, yet you have clothing, take a look at those at a refugee camp who don't even have a blanket to cover themselves from the snow. And they're still saying, "Alhamdulillah." And we're saying, "Oh Allah, I'm tired of this." It's a matter of understanding, looking at things from different perspectives. So it's not wrong to be divorced. But it's wrong to look at those who are divorced with an eye of skepticism. And I haven't given you examples from everywhere today. I've taken you straight back to our role model. Straight back to his example. There can never be a more powerful example than his. Another one. Take a look at his companions. Nearly all of them followed his footsteps. Did you know that? Go and study it. I don't have the time to go into it. By the way, the brother showed me a 10-minute thingy a few minutes ago. But before I got up, you notice I spoke to the brothers here. How much time do I have? They said, "Until Maghrib." Yeah, that's what they said. Am I right? Allah make it easy. It's a very important topic, and I wanted to address it in a specific way, and I knew it would take a little bit long, because sometimes to build the topic, it makes the topic more meaningful. And sometimes to just come into it, people say, "Well, a good speaker is supposed to get it in." It's not every day I come to Hong Kong. Come on. So my brothers and sisters, we need to know the biggest problem is the development of our own character and conduct and our own deen. Hence, Allah says when you're choosing a spouse, choose carefully looking at the deen and the character. The level of closeness to the Almighty and the level of character. Do you know why? Listen, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is quoted to have said, "Zawwij ibnataka taqiyan. In ahabbaha akramaha wa in abghadaha lam yadhlimha." Amazing. Get your daughters married to those who are conscious of Allah. Why? If he loves her, he will spoil her. He will honor her. And if he detests her, he won't oppress her. At least he'll send her home respectfully. Ask those who are struggling to get a divorce. When a man respectfully gives that divorce, isn't he a man? MashaAllah. He didn't beat me. He didn't abuse me. Yes, we had differences. When they got beyond the point, when we couldn't get along, we respectfully parted ways. Allah says, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You either hold your spouse in a common way, within the norm, you're married within the norm, but Allah says, or if you are divorcing, that divorce should happen with goodness, politeness, care and understanding. The word for divorce, the description with divorce is ihsan. Ihsan meaning goodness. And the description for living together is ma'ruf. Ma'ruf means that which is common, that which is the norm. We're living together within the norm. It's beautiful. It's nice. We have good character, good conduct, etc. But if you're divorcing, you must be even more kind in your divorcing. These are the teachings of Islam. Today, wallahi, the non-Muslims have happier divorces than our marriages. Wallahi, did you hear what I said? Pick up the papers. I don't want to say the guy's name, but one of the richest guys on earth went through a divorce. As though, hi, I'll see you tomorrow, guy. That's what happened. And if it was a Muslim, you, your mother, your father, your grandfather, grandmother, your uncles, your aunties, your everyone else, as a result of this, no one speaks to them. You're spitting on them, you're cursing them. You go and visit witch doctors and witchcraft and amins and peers and whoever else it is to curse them and to do magic on them and their lot. And the divorces need to happen not just because of you, but your relatives and families who are married in the family, and no one ever in the future is allowed to marry anywhere near that family just because something went wrong between two people. A'udhu billah, we're Muslimin. No, we're not. That's not Islam. The whole tribe is already totally cut off just because two people didn't get along. Is that what Islam taught you? But it's happening. It's happening in our societies even today. I remember one brother, and this is the good side of it, divorced someone because he was busy having an affair with someone else. And he married this person due to pressure from his folks and whatever else it was. And he realized, I made a mistake, so he divorced her. You know, the father of this woman was so pious, he actually came to his ex-son-in-law to thank him. To say, I want to tell you one thing. I know what you did was bad. It hurt me. But you didn't oppress my daughter. Really. And they became buddies. They became friends. Subhanallah. He said, you didn't oppress my daughter. I want to acknowledge the fact that you have lived with her respectfully and divorced her. Yes, with respect. Whew. We would think that person is abnormal today. Right? But I know of this incident that has happened. Are we ready? If that were to happen in our families, to at least greet, to talk to each other, the answer is no. We wouldn't even do that. So remember, my brothers and sisters, that which we consider taboo is actually at times the proper way of doing things. But we don't. We're accustomed to something that is toxic itself. We're the problem. So I was saying, when you have character and deen, when does it show? When does your closeness to Allah show? When does your character show? Can I tell you when it shows? When things do not happen your way, then it shows. Something goes totally against what you want and what you would have liked. Then your true colors start showing. You either get angry, start swearing, start shouting, start accusing. A lot of men guilty of adultery quickly look at their spouses and accuse them of adultery in advance, just so that the day they get nabbed, they've already got one case against them anyway. It's happening. I'm a counselor for 20 years, I've witnessed these things. Why? What are you accusing people for? That accusation is so dangerous that it will come back and rebound to you in some way or another. The suffering that you will taste at the hands of Allah will be far worse than the suffering that someone else tasted at your hands. So don't make people suffer. Suffer for what? We're not meant to make animals suffer. We're not meant to make cats or dogs suffer. How can you make a human being you're married to suffer? Or you were married to, you had kids with, suffer. And the last thing I want to say this evening, before I close, there's still a lot to be said, inshallah, but another time. When we divorce, those children belong to both. No matter how bad the father was, he's still the father. No matter how bad the mother was, she's still the mother. No matter how much you didn't get along, those are still the parents of both of you. You have to put your pride aside and allow either the custody or the access with a full heart. With a full heart. And don't ever contaminate the minds and hearts of those little children against either the mother or the father due to a divorce. Otherwise, the hand of Allah, when it comes, trust me, it is quite painful if it were to come with punishment. These children are an amana. You brought them onto this earth by the help of Allah and His divine decree and wisdom. It's your test. When the marriage didn't work, you look after those children. When the marriage didn't work, you make sure they are not deprived of whom Allah chose as either their mother or father. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us become better people. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.